We're going to conclude our series that we started a few weeks ago. The name of that series is called Words, Life or Death. I want to read our verse that we have used every week, Proverbs 18:21, and it says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. As we have unpacked this verse of Scripture, we have found out that the tongue has great potential. In fact, you live by the words of your mouth. You are either adding to your life, or you're taken away from your life by the words of your mouth. And by nature, we seem to be negative. That seems to be the default mode. When you're not thinking, when you're out in the world and you're talking to people, have you ever noticed that you get drawn into negative conversations and you find yourself saying things that you later regret saying? That is, death is in the power of the tongue, but also life. And we've looked at several verses and talked about several different things. Today we're going to talk about bridling the tongue. Bridling the tongue. I want to read a verse in James chapter 1, verse 26. And this talks about religion, but this is religion in a positive way. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, or we could say spiritually alive, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. I wonder, and I don't want to show hands, because probably every hand would have to go up, how many of us have ever used our tongue in a negative way? And it's, all of us have. It's terrible. It's terrible. And the Bible tells us that the tongue is an unruly member of our body, and that no man can tame the tongue. Well, what are we going to be talking about? Why does this say that the man that doesn't bridle his tongue, religion is useless? That would make all of our religions useless. No, we can't tame our tongue, but God can do the work in our hearts. But we have to learn how to cooperate with the Lord in this process of taming our tongue. I want to give you three principles today, and they all start with P, and I'm going to go ahead and give them to you so you can write them down on your sheet there. Then we're going to come back and we're going to look at verses of Scripture. We're going to look at verses of Scripture. And the first one is pause. Pause. P-A-U-S-E. The second one is ponder. And the third is pray. Now, this is our part in the work of God that He can do in our hearts. If you won't do these three things, there's very little God can do with your mouth. Okay? Our mouths are out of control. Have you ever been around negative people? Huh? Anybody? You know, negative people. You know, we don't like negativity. We really don't. And what happens when Christians become negative, when they become negative, I don't mean just saying things that are negative. I'm talking about gossiping and backbiting and backstabbing and, you know, talking down about people or talking down to people. People shut down where they're concerned. And when it comes to them sharing their faith with people, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. You know, and there's a couple of ways you can be negative, and I dealt with this a little bit in first service, so I better do it in second, is that you can be negative with your tongue, but you can also be negative with a typewriter. I mean, keyboard. We don't typewrite anymore. It's keyboard. You tell what generation I'm from. Let's just do a little survey here. How many of you have a Facebook account? Let's see your hand. Okay, so everybody participate. How many of you have ever blocked somebody because all they ever do is get on there and rant and post negative stuff? Has anybody done that besides me? I mean, why? Because you don't want to hear that mess. Nobody cares about all the negativity and the ranting and the raving and just negative, negative, negative. People do not like that. And they really don't like that in Christians. They really don't like that in Christians. So we have to address as the church this issue of the mouth and the tongue. And if God is going to use us, if our religion is going to be useful, not useless, then we have to cooperate with God when it comes to the taming of the tongue. We talked about how that you can put a bridle in a horse's mouth, and you can control a horse. There's a little rudder on a ship, and it can, even in a storm, that rudder can steer that ship through the storm. Well, you got a little rudder on you, and it's between your lips. That's your rudder, and it determines the course of your life, life or death. And it, you know, that's up to you. And a little spark can start a fire, and we can see the negativity in all of that. But God didn't give you your tongue for everything to be negative. See, learn not to be a fork. Don't get on Facebook, social media, in the workplace, and use your tongue as a fork or a knife. Be a spoon. Be a spoon. A spoon lifts up. A spoon lifts up. A fork stabs. A knife cuts. So we need to learn not to be those kind of things. Don't use your avenues of communication, whether it's the words of your mouth or the typing of the things that you use in social media, to be negative and griping and complaining. People do not like that. I mean, I've seen people on Facebook talk about going to the bathroom. Really? Block. And I want to hear about your BMs. If you get a new BMW, that's fine. Put your picture. But we don't want to know about the other, okay? Now, I woke somebody up on that one. That's good. Sometimes the shock value has to come into play here. You shouldn't talk about that in church. We talk about everything here. Okay. Let me give you a little word, because the first one we're going to talk about is pause. Let me give you a little word called WAIT, W-A-I-T. Write that down, and I'll give you an acronym. Because the first thing we have to do to cooperate with the Lord when it comes to our tongues is to pause. To pause. And WAIT stands for, why am I talking? WAIT. Why am I talking? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, why am I talking? Our natural inclination is to disengage brain, open our mouth, and spill our guts. That's crude talk, I know. But nobody likes to see all of that. So wait. Ask yourself the question, why am I talking? If we will pause, many times we won't say anything. Isn't that true? But we don't have a tendency to pause. America, you know how arrogant Americans are? Well, that's my right. I'm going to speak my mind. You can do that if you want to. You have that right. But you'll get to where nobody wants to hear you. Nobody wants to be a part. People will avoid you. And as a believer, that does not need to happen. That does not need to happen. We need to be able to speak into people's lives. But listen, you can't be spilling your guts one moment and talk about the love of Jesus the next moment. So we need to learn to pause. We need to learn to wait. We need to learn to ask ourselves the question, why am I talking? And if you don't have a good answer to that, shut up. I know you're not supposed to say that, but kids are supposed to be in children's church, so we can talk that way here. Why am I talking? Proverbs 21:23. Let's look at some scripture, because these are very powerful scriptures. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Has your tongue ever got you in trouble? Yeah. I believe all of us have been in that boat where our tongues get us in trouble. But it says that if we will learn to guard our mouths and tongue. It will keep our soul from trouble. You'll stay out of trouble. Your words get you in trouble. That's why we need to learn to pause. We need to ask ourselves the question, why am I talking? Okay? If there's not a good answer to that, we need to be quiet. I'll say that nicer this time. Be quiet. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words is sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Listen, if you talk enough, you're going to sin with your mouth. If you talk all the time, the Bible says that sin is not lacking. There are times that we are offensive with our mouths. All of us have done that. But that's not what brings glory to God. That's not what glorifies God. We need to learn to yield ourselves to the Lord in such a way that he can use us for his glory. And we're going to look in Isaiah and see an experience that Isaiah had with the Lord and how it changed the course of his life as he began to realize that he was a man of unclean lips. And a lot of times we don't realize that we are a people of unclean lips. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives sometimes. We need an encounter with God that starts this process where our hearts are being changed and our lips glorify God. And we're not trying to be this sweet water fountain and putrid water at the same time. That don't work. It just doesn't work that way. All right. Proverbs 17:27-28. He who has knowledge spares his words. Where does that knowledge come from? It comes from the Bible. This is good. This is good knowledge. Get this knowledge that if you're going to have knowledge, you're going to spare your words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. You know what? When you're upset, you ever notice that when you're upset, what usually happens is the mouth flies open and you just begin to row. But this says that a man of knowledge is going to be of a calm spirit. You know why? Because instead of the first thing him opening his mouth, the first thing that he does is be quiet and pause. To pause. You pause before you speak. And while you're pausing, and we'll get to that in just a minute, you're going to do something else, which is the second thing that we're going to talk about. But this says that a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. See, the Bible says tells you to shut up sometimes. But even a fool, when he doesn't talk, it's perceived as wise. See, words reveal the heart. Words reveal lots of things. Proverbs 18:13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. James 1:19, and he sums it up. So then, my brethren, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We usually get that backwards. We're quick to wrath. We're quick to hear, quick to wrath, quick to speak. Okay? It says, be quick to hear. You got two ears for one reason. That's so you can listen twice as much as you talk. Okay? Everybody, I know some people talk like they got two mouths and no ears. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that never listens? All they do is talk, and you try to talk to them and they talk over you? This is a good scripture for them. You got ears for listening. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Here's the second thing we need to do. While we got our mouths shut, what do we need to do? We need to ponder. We need to think. We need to meditate. Okay? We need to meditate, to ponder, to think about what we're going to say. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There's a big relationship between the heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. The Bible talks about that a whole lot. In fact, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, really, the mouth problem is a heart problem. And a heart problem is a mouth problem. It's a circular thing. You know, if you speak something, it gets into your heart. The more you speak it, the bigger it gets in your heart. The bigger it gets in the heart, the more you speak it. And, have you ever been offended? Has somebody ever hurt your feelings? You know what? You know what? It wounds your heart. And you know what you think about? Well, Robbie hurt my feelings. I tell you what, you just think on that. You grind on that. You know, he ain't that hot. He's not, you know, he's... And first thing you know, you're opening your mouth and you're saying things out your mouth. And the more you speak it out your mouth, the bigger it gets in your heart. So there's a great relationship in the heart and the mouth. So if we're going to change the heart, we're going to have to change the mouth. If we're going to change the mouth, we've got to change the heart. So we got to have something that's going to help us do that. And that's why the Lord has given us His Word. That's why He's given us knowledge, as we talked about a while ago. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But so there's, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, in Luke, there was a lot of things that was said to Mary when Jesus was born. You remember the eighth day after he was born, they took him to the temple to have him circumcised. And there were two people there that she had an encounter with. One of them was Anna the prophetess, and the other one was Simeon. And both of them were old. And both of them had in their hearts a desire before they died to see the Messiah. So when they brought Jesus in, Anna the prophetess recognized who he was by the Spirit of God and spoke some things prophetically to Mary. Now the reason that she spoke prophetically to Mary, because there was going to come a time that she needed to have that in her heart so that she could face what she was going to have to face. Mary faced some very difficult times in the life of Jesus. The other one was Simeon. The Lord had told him that before he died, that he would hold the Messiah. And when he came into the temple, Simeon was there and he held the Messiah. And he prophesied certain things about the Messiah. And the Bible says in Luke 2:19, but Mary kept all these things in her things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't forget what the Holy Spirit said to her through these two people. She kept them in her heart. She pondered these things in her heart. She thought about them. She meditated on them. See, it would be very difficult to know that you were the mother of God. And there was a time in their life that they thought Jesus was out of his mind. His family thought that he was out of his mind. He was saying some weird things. That the only way that they could be true is if he were Messiah, if he were God in the flesh. And so these were challenged, and the family went to get Jesus. And they thought he was insane. They was going to take him home. And Jesus said some very direct things to his family. He avoided his family. And if Mary had not had some of these things in her heart and had pondered these things, it would have been very perplexing to her. And then she was able to go to the cross and have interaction with Jesus as he hung on the cross. The very things that she had pondered in her heart were the things that saw her through in her life. And the very things that we, because as we think in our heart, so are we. The very things that we ponder in our heart will dictate the course of our lives, good or bad. See, if you see yourself as no good, if you see yourself as unworthy, if you see yourself as a nobody, guess what? That's what you'll become. Because that's what you'll express, that's what you'll embrace in life, that's what you'll talk about all of the time, and you'll rise or fall to the level of your words. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about a spiritual principle, how God's word has been given to us to transform our hearts and our mouths so that we can be the instrument that God wants us to be for His glory and His kingdom. Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witnesses, blasphemies." See, the default of the heart is always towards self, selfishness, the flesh, negativity, sin, wrongdoing. That's why we have to learn to guard our hearts. Because out of it flow all the issues of life. And if you don't, and I think this is probably the greatest one, because most people never do this one, is that first one, is to pause. Pause. We don't pause. We blab. Because if you don't pause, you'll never ponder. You'll never ponder. Now, here's what the Bible says about itself. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God's alive. When you hear the word of God, it penetrates you to your very core. You know, some people go to church and say, "You know, that pastor condemned me. That pastor judged me." No, I didn't. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to get you to judge yourself. See, when you hear the word, it goes to the core of your intent. It will lay open your intent. It will show you if your intent is where it needs to be or not. And sometimes you don't want to hear that, and you see that as somebody condemning you. No, 1,000 times no. It's not somebody condemning you. It's your heart and the Holy Spirit that is bringing this to your attention, not so you can be condemned, but so that you can deal with it and you can become what you're supposed to be. See, there's a part that we have to play in this process, because we can't change our tongues. Only God can do that. Only an encounter with God can do that. Our part is to pause, ponder, and pray. Let's look at the last one. Pray. There's a story in Isaiah chapter 6. This takes a place. Around the time that King Uzziah died. Isaiah 6:1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." This is Isaiah talking. "I saw the Lord sitting on the throne." He had a vision. He had an encounter with God. How many of you know we all need an encounter with God? We need an encounter with God that's real. God's good. At encounter. Every one of us have had God moments. And there's a reason that we have God moments. Because God's wanting to do something significant in our lives. Some of you will have a God moment today. You need to choose what you're going to do with it. Isaiah had a God moment. He was at a low place in his life. The king that he loved had died. He was sad. He was mourning. And many times God meets us. Listen to this. Somebody needs to hear this. Many times God meets us at our lowest point. When we think there's no hope, He meets us. "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple." Above it stood a seraphim. Each had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Let me tell you what's happening here. When this happens, the house is filled with the Shekinah presence of God. Now listen, when the Shekinah presence of God comes in, something significant is happening. And many times in the Old Testament, when those priests would go into the place and it said that the smoke would fill the temple, that was the Shekinah presence of God. And it says they could not stand to minister. They just fell down. You've heard about being slain in the spirit. You know, you've seen some of that. Well, that's kind of what happened. They couldn't stand in the presence of God because it was so thick, and it was so, and they had an encounter with God. And this is what's happening to Isaiah. But you know, a lot of times we think encounters with God is all about being blessed. And ultimately it is, but sometimes an encounter with God brings us face to face with the reality of our own hearts. Sometimes our hearts need to be confronted by the presence of God. And right here, God is doing a confrontation in the heart of Isaiah. Why? Because God had great things for Isaiah to say and to do and to be to the people of God. One of the greatest revelations that we have, one of the greatest messianic revelations that we have was brought by Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Wow. I mean, you can see a picture of Calvary. You can see a picture of Christ. It's messianic in nature. But listen, Isaiah had to have an encounter with God because there was something wrong in his life. And he says it right here. "So I said, woe is me." He didn't say, "Glory, glory, glory, aren't I blessed?" No, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." What happens when you get in the midst of people of unclean lips? You'll have unclean lips. Choose who you hang out with. But he says, I'm undone. He didn't blame them. He says, listen, I'm a man of unclean lips. And everybody I know has unclean lips. See, when he saw the glory of God, he saw how great God was, but he also saw where he was. Now, God doesn't do that so that we can feel bad about ourselves. He does that so that we can have a confrontation that will be a catalyst to let him do something significant in our lives. Amen. How many of you think you need a work of God in your life? Anybody? I mean, every hand in the house should go up. We need a work of God in our lives. We need to have an encounter with God Almighty. "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim, see, when he acknowledged his sin, look what happened. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.'" Now that altar is a type of Jesus Christ. That altar is a type of Jesus Christ. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" See, if he hadn't had that moment of revelation of what his problem was, he could have never come to the point where he could have heard the word of the Lord says, "Who's going to go? Who am I going to send?" He couldn't have sent him with unclean lips. But when he had that encounter with God, it brought him into a new arena in his life for anointing and for the work of God. And Isaiah was able to say, "Here am I, send me." No longer was he unclean. No longer was he undone. But now he was ready to be a spokesman for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be spokesmen for his kingdom. He wants us to be spokesmen for his glory. But guess what? We have to have that encounter where our lips have been cleaned. Well, there you have it. It's tough stuff, isn't it? But it's good. See, it's tough because it hits us where we live. But it's a message that has solution. You can't change your mouth. But if you'll let God, he can. Your part? Pause. Ask yourself, why am I talking? While you're quiet, ponder. Listen to what God says to you. When you're reading your Bibles, and you are reading your Bibles, when you're reading your Bibles, ponder what God says to you. See, the Bible is 66 love letters that God has sent to you. He's talking to you. You need to ponder what he's saying. As you ponder what he's saying, you'll realize where you are, and you'll pray, and you'll open your life to God, and he can do a work of forgiveness and cleansing in your life so that your lips will not be unclean. Your heart will not be unclean. I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to believers. We need a heart cleansing where our lips are concerned. We need to be able to speak for God, not speak about God. We need to be able to speak out of a pure heart, not of a stream that's polluted with pure water and dirty water. You know, I believe that you can have an encounter with God right now. I want you to stand with me. I believe you can have an encounter with God right now. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What is the thing that he has laid on your heart? Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your spouse. Think about your heart. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And then what are you willing to do about it? We're fixing to worship God. We're going to come right back into his presence. We're going to sing a gorgeous song. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I believe God can do a work in you right where you stand right now. So as we sing this song, I want you to shut your eyes and I want you to worship. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, to be changed by your glory. We bless you in Jesus' name.